I'm Scott Stuntz, and this is Emphasis. Western Illinois University history professor Tim Roberts and business management professor Joe Dobson will travel and teach overseas this fall as Fulbright scholars. For Dobson, that means Romania, and in Roberts' case, China.
Going to China, going for the whole academic year to teach U.S. history at Zhejiang University, which is in a town called Hangzhou, about 600 miles southeast of Beijing near Shanghai.
And Joe?
I'm going to teach business management at a university in Romania at the Babes Bolyai University, which is in Cluj-Napoca. Usually it's just referred to the city as Cluj. And it's something I'm just going there for one semester. I've been very much looking forward to it. I've always wanted to go to Eastern Europe.
So when you apply for a scholarship like this to be a Fulbright scholar, do they assign you a place, or is that part of your application that you have a specific area or city in mind that you want to go to?
Yeah, Fulbright asks you to designate a country. They publish a list of awards and programs that universities are interested in having American scholars participate in, and so you indicate the country and what you're willing to offer, in our case, as Fulbright lecturers. China is a little bit different from other countries in that Americans are not encouraged, in fact, are prohibited from contacting Chinese counterparts for a letter of invitation. It's all handled through the Chinese Ministry of Education.
So is there a little bit of a sort of mystery of where exactly you'll end up when you end up going to China? I mean, obviously you know now, but sort of in the process?
Yeah, that's exactly the case. I learned really in late April that I would be going to China, but it's only recently, in the last week or so, that we've nailed down the institution that's going to be my host. So it's been kind of a suspenseful process.
And then with Joe, were you able to specify that more, having a different relationship than the U.S. does with China, or is there a little bit of that mystery there too?
No, mine was the complete opposite. If you want the whole story, I was at a teaching conference last June, and I was looking at a sabbatical coming up, and I take a study abroad class to Western Europe every year, but I've always wanted to go to Eastern Europe. And a woman sat down next to me in a session, and we started talking. She's from Romania, now living here in the U.S. And so we talked about traveling and visiting in Europe and our different places we've been to. And so she started trying to sell me on Romania, of course, what a wonderful place it is. And then the next day she introduced me to a second woman from Romania, also living in the U.S. So these are both PhDs. And the second person said she has a contact back in Romania that she'll put me in touch with. Before I even got home, I got an email from Romania, and we started exchanging information. I sent my vita, some syllabi. She sent me information about their scheduling, and just everything fell into place. And before I knew it, I had a letter of invitation from their university. Our schedules coincided exactly. And then they said, oh, by the way, we're a very poor university. We can't actually pay you for this, so we encourage you to apply for a Fulbright. Well, the deadline was coming up. The deadline was August 1st. And if I had time to think about it, I probably wouldn't have applied because I'm not what you would think of as a Fulbright scholar. But apparently that letter of invitation and demand for going to Romania is not that large, and the teaching that I was going to do was just, in my experience overseas already, just fell perfectly into the profile. And so I knew I was going there last summer, but I didn't get the Fulbright Award until February, I believe.
So I'm guessing it's quite a process to sort of prepare your lives to be able to pick up and go, you know, take advantage of this opportunity for either one or two semesters. Is that kind of a challenge? Has that been sort of difficult to just get everything in order?
Yeah, we didn't know if we would go or not, so we didn't really make a lot of arrangements before we got the confirmation. But now it's, as you can imagine, Scott's kind of a scramble, doing everything from, trying to see if somebody wants to rent our house, to who's going to take care of our dog, to figuring out what kind of bank to use in China, whether we get paid in American or Chinese currency, and how that all works out. So my life is much more complex. Be careful what you ask for, I guess, is the lesson of the Fulbright program.
You were saying that you have to figure out, you know, who's going to take care of your dog and things like that, but you're also traveling with your family, right? You have children?
Yes, Scott. My wife, Emily, and two 10-year-olds, Zoe and Sumner, are going to go with me. and that's pretty cool. One of the issues is looking at schooling for Zoe and Sumner, applying to an international school there in Hangzhou. Probably we're going to be in university housing, and so we'll be perhaps hiring a driver or arranging for transportation for them. And that's going to be really it's a little bit daunting, intimidating for them right now to go overseas. They're a little bit less enthusiastic than I am. But this is a good age to take kids abroad. They're a little bit less invested here than they will be maybe in high school. And so, you know, we are sharing information with them, getting excited. My dad bought a book about China for them. My son's really excited about the speed trains in China. So as long as they have speed trains, he'll go anywhere.
My plan, I knew, like I say, last summer I was going, and I had decided I was going to go Fulbright or not. And so I made the arrangements for a house sitter who also would take care of my dog. And, you know, I got the award or the sabbatical approval, so everything fell into place there. The arrangements to go to Romania and set up banking and things, we just got a manual, or I just got a manual about Romanian transition, revised last year by some of the Romanian expatriate Fulbrights, so it's very up to date.
Well, and it sounds like a lot of the stuff really varies. I mean, it's not one uniform experience. It's something that varies depending on what country and what institution you're going with. Are there, you know, maybe differences in how these institutions operate that you're either apprehensive about or looking forward to? Or, you know, what do you think the teaching experience will be like as compared to teaching at WIU?
I don't know. I mean, we submitted, as Joe said, I submitted syllabi for some courses based on what I teach here at WIU. But, you know, the first phone call I got from the cultural attaché in Beijing at the U.S. Embassy there said, you know, be flexible, be willing to throw your syllabi out on the first day of the semester based on, you know, what kind of students you have and what their interests are.
And mind, the university I'm going to be at has 50,000 students, and they can take their programs in Romanian or Hungarian or English, and I will be teaching in English. Mm-hmm. There's a student in our building who's not in our program. She's actually a law enforcement student, but she's from Romania. So I've been picking her brain about the differences, and she told me, well, the classes will be much more formal. The students, she looked around our hallway, she goes, they would never dress like this. Says they're more formal, very respectful, so you can imagine that they'll just hang on every word, although they might not ask questions as much. So my counterpart over there is going to be helping me a little bit in the beginning, so I'll make sure that we make it clear I do want questions if there's anything they don't understand. So I know I've got to be flexible because even though they've already approved my syllabus, I've taught a little bit in China and Russia and even in the UK, and I know sometimes you just have to roll with differences, so be willing to adapt.
And I know you're teaching business management, so is there differences in, like, you know, how business is conducted or business culture that, you know, different in Romania as opposed to here or other places that you've taught that will change how you approach the courses?
Well, Romania is making the transition from being former Soviet block to, you know, being capitalist. So they're extremely interested in our business models and how we do things. The big change I am going to be going through this fall as I teach the class here is to remove the examples that I use that are tied to our popular culture and find things that are more universal, or even if I can find more European examples, because I use a lot of connections between the students' world and the business world, and I want to make sure those are not confusing to the students in Romania.
And as far as American history goes, you're teaching American history, correct, Tim?
Yeah, early U.S. history, early Republic, Civil War, maybe a course I teach here on American law. So I want to try to think about illustrations or examples that connect with students there. One of the things that really drew me to China was how it in some ways resembles the early U.S., in terms of its rapidly developing economy, very low level of regulation of business. We in our early years were very concerned about borders and security, and in some ways China is sensitive to that over, you know, Taiwan, Hong Kong. So I'm interested in parallels between the two countries, even though, you know, there's some really vast differences that you have to acknowledge.
And is there going to be sort of a difference where, you know, teaching American history in America, you know, you have that viewpoint of it's our history. Is there going to be something different with having, you know, your audience, you know, maybe having a little bit more distance with the material?
Yeah, that's really something that is exciting. What I think it's really cool to think about the U.S. as a foreign country, you know, and to not make so many assumptions, as Joe suggested, about how people understand about pop culture, to rethink and to really scrutinize American institutions, things we take for granted, look at those through the perspective of somebody unfamiliar with America as an insider. You know, I previously taught in Turkey, and I wound up using a lot of analogies. I expect that'll be similar to my experience in China. And what's really, for me, exciting is to look forward to thinking about what those analogies are as they emerge in the classroom.
Is there something that you're sort of looking forward to, you know, lessons that you could learn from this opportunity or things you're looking forward to as far as experiences?
Well, I definitely am always interested in what other people's perspective of the U.S. is, and especially younger people. I remember at one point, Baywatch was the most popular show in the entire world. And I go places, and the college-age students' perception of the U.S. was based on Baywatch and Jerry Springer. So I want to hear what they have to think about the U.S. So I'm looking forward to learning that, actually.
My experience overseas is that students are very familiar with American pop culture and even to an extent recent American history, Cold War, the 60s, for example. Obviously, I want to push back and think about America in its early days and get students to think about, as I do here, you know, where our culture comes from. How did we get such a market economy? How do we balance liberal democracy and capitalism? How do we get the idea that dissent is okay, right? So, you know, as a historian, you're always searching for the roots of modern questions.
Now, do you think there's something that students, you know, an additional benefit that, let's say, you know, after you've come back, is there a benefit that students get from having an instructor that has, you know, seen the world, educated in different places? Is there, like, you know, a tangible benefit for your students going forward?
Oh, definitely. I teach an international management class. And so I'm always bringing in examples of things I've witnessed or conversations I've had. And so it enriches their education, gets them to see things beyond this. You know, we're a huge part of the world, but we're just one part of the world. And to give them some other perspectives just opens their eyes and, again, helps their education.
Yeah, of course. And my goal is to bring back lessons for WU students about how they can see themselves as global citizens. I would love to see more, for example, Chinese students in liberal arts and in humanities classes. I think you know, you see a good number of foreign students in the business school, perhaps even in law enforcement, as Joe mentioned. I'd love to see them in the humanities and for our students to, you know, whether students there to come or not, to have a sense of getting outside of American borders. I can bring back stories and maybe encourage students here to go abroad while they're at WIU.
That was WIU history professor Tim Roberts, who will be lecturing in China, and business management professor Joe Dobson, who will travel to Romania. They, along with WIU Quad Cities associate English professor Daniel Malachuk, will teach abroad as Fulbright scholars this fall. I'm Scott Stuntz.